their trucks, everything else, ought to not just give this monopoly these plants that you've built. And I held them off until Eisenhower was elected, and we had a yardstick like TVA. But they finally succeeded in getting them, and they're doing their job on tires, and my guess is they're selling for twice what they were at that time. Now, the same thing's been pretty generally true on everything. I've been releasing copper all year. All year to keep it from going through the roof, and it's still going. I've been trying to get authority for Lincoln's lead all year. I've been working on aluminum all year, but the time has come when September they couldn't go and we had to move. We told them we were going to move in October, November, and they ran off to Japan, and Harper left the country. And then when we got ready to rework our things, why, then they came in and said, well, we're going to have a big price increase.
I see.
And we don't know anything about it. We couldn't help it. Now they've had it. And I don't know. My judgment is that in time, the American people, 190 million of them, pretty well feel that their government has acted wisely. I'll give you an illustration. One of the big papers in the country, not the Times, but one of the more liberal and big papers, had a mean editorial saying that Johnson's ripped Van Winkle, and it didn't say the poor man's sick and he's down home and he's trying to get where he can fight his way back and be on top of his job. And these sons of bitches have come in and tried to roll him while he's down there sick. They had an editorial saying Johnson's ripped Van Winkle. I didn't see y'all's, but along the same general line, and he ought to have more interest in things like this. And I was working people all night for a week to protect their interests. Well, you say, why didn't you tell them? Well, if I'd have told them my effect of what I did yesterday, probably wouldn't have gone into effect, number one. And number, they would have destroyed it. Number two, they would have murdered me. They may do it anyway. But I don't think we've been mild. I think you look at that transcript, Califano Red Bell's transcript, again to me this morning, very carefully. We analyzed every word of it. We don't think it justified the Pearson or the Evans or the Dale or even the Pomfret descriptions of it. But we think you all do more speculation than the facts justify sometimes, instead of the straight reporting saying, here's what they're saying, and we'll have to see what time does. We don't know what Treasury's going to recommend. It takes time to move Fowler's bowels, and he's got to study a good deal to see just what it is going to have on balance payments.
Yeah.
And we don't want to offend Canada and an election going on up there next Monday. And Japan, with our people trying to increase our trade going back and forth, and France. And we don't want to stir any more international things. In London this morning, they're saying that, well, because of this big increase, that there may be a confrontation between the Labour government and down to one margin with their aluminum industry. Now, what I've had is our people quietly, thoroughly, judiciously, like the Supreme Court operates, I think, working around the clock while your boys, Johnny Oakes, is writing an editorial saying that I'm not reacting, I'm not doing enough. And the Washington Post is getting ready to really burn my tail, and then after they get their first edition to press, they come up and see this order and they say, oh my God, what's happening?
I see.
So we don't think that we're either sputtering mad. I told you the other night I wasn't mad at anybody, and I'm not. I read you the wire, didn't I, from the president of aluminum saying that Janice sends her love?
Yes.
His wife? So I'm not mad at him. I just don't think it's my job to be president of Alcoa. Of course, if I were, I wouldn't do it the way he's doing it.
Yeah.
I think that he was in Japan, and I think these boys are up to number five in 2 years. And when you're paying kids $50 a month, you have some little obligation. I would recommend to both of you that you listen to Walter Heller, who's due in 5 minutes on Meet the Press, who has analyzed these things very carefully. And I've forgotten the date, but you can say, if you want a little exclusive, that this is not anything new. That when the president came in after the assassination, one of the first things he's confronted with was a nationwide railroad strike. And with increased price raises all over the country, and aluminum at that time was the troublemaker. One of the first calls he made after he was president was actually sitting on one side of him in the Treasury and defense stockpile people on the other, was to call the president of the aluminum company and appeal to him for cooperation on price increases. He had nice conversations, but since then have been 5 price increases.
I see.
And we have tried to have orderly disposition, but they will not agree, so we have to have it unilaterally if we can't get it bilaterally. And we told him yesterday it's going to be unilaterally. And you want to bear in mind from the time Bill gave you his press notice at 4 o'clock, which was 5 o'clock Washington time, day before yesterday, up till 12:30 Austin time yesterday, there was a hell of a lot of work in the Ackley's report and the McNamara's into Treasuries and into GSA.
And actually, I guess your people were still meeting with the aluminum companies, weren't they?
Oh, yes, yes. And do you think that we met with them up yesterday morning, you know? You don't want us to walk out and say that McNamara says he's going to do this if you don't. We never said that. You know what you'd call that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I was a college editor of a little paper you'll see tomorrow, the College Star. And I would have said, President Johnson threatened to blackjack the aluminum industries today if they did not come to terms with him by threatening to dump on the market a large part of the government stockpile. We didn't threaten anything. We just said to them, gentlemen, we got to have 200,000 extra tons next year. Won't you all agree to let us take that from the stockpile? We'll take the 200,000 we're already getting from you. But we got to have that much more next year, and won't you let us use that out of our own? And they said, screw you.
Yes.
And we kept on and we kept on. We said, here are 5 plans. Now, none of y'all paid any attention to those 5 plans, but they're all significant. They're all reasonable. They're all fair. And they said no. Then we walked out of this meeting, and our things were out of the mimeograph and ready to go, and the statements and the orders all week. The economic advisor, Bill, couldn't tell you at 4 o'clock the afternoon before when negotiations were going on in the middle of it, and when he hadn't seen it, and I hadn't seen it, what Ackley's statement was. I didn't see it till noon yesterday, what it was. But they'd been working all through the week. Ackley went home the other night, 2 or 3 o'clock, but his rest of his folks went on, but he just up from an operation himself. So then they went back to the White House after the meeting. And while they were on the way back, the aluminum minister heard the conference was called, and then God Almighty, they started shouting from the housetops and said, we're really going to blast you again. And they demanded to see McNamara. He'd already left the building. And they went in threatening all up and down those corridors. And John, you're a pretty good guy and a fairly perceptive man. And you may not be as old as I am, but haven't you seen Mr. Mellon throw his weight around a good deal of the aluminum companies over the years? And I don't want to say what Roosevelt said, they met the master, because I'm not going to master them. But I'd be goddamned if I'm going to let them make me continue to buy aluminum overseas and lose another $100 million this year if I can avoid it. Now, maybe I can't.
What do you hope the effect of all this may be on other industries, Mr. President?
Well, I don't hope. I don't know. I think it, generally speaking, it has been rather remarkable. We've gone 57 months as we have. And I think that, generally speaking, management, capital, and labor feel that this administration is willing to give them an audience and do what's fair. And I think that, generally speaking, business never had it so good, don't you?
Yes, well, I think so.
So I would say 3 things. First, I would say that continuing that team on the field is very much in the interest of business itself. Right?
Yes.
Number 2, I would say that continuing our policies of what I'm trying to do, maybe I'm going to get it down from $4 billion to under 2 this year, that the balance. Say that?
Sure.
Number 3, I would say, with a war going on in Vietnam, with the increased demands we've got, that we've really got a moral problem of not trying to get it while getting's good and make a killing. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
Now, that's all I'm trying to do, and I would think the average businessman looking at this picture, 52% up, 80% up in 4 years, 52% last year after taxes, liberal depreciation, 100% of capacity compared to 40 or 50. 5% increased productivity compared to 3.5% that poor smelter boy's getting. I wouldn't say that it's being unusually arbitrary. And you and Scotty Reston are experts on these strikes. When they settled for about 3.5% and had 5% productivity, that didn't hurt our guidelines. But now they hit another and another and another. They've had 5 of them in 2 years. So I think that...
Yes.
I think that answers it.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, Mr. President.
Now, is there anything else you can ask that you want to know that I haven't answered?
No, sir. I think that covers it.
I don't think you or Bill or Harper or McNamara knows what this is going to do to prices. I do think this is a fair and reasonable move on our part, and I think one that any businessman would take.
You might want to hear Heller. He's about to answer his question on price.
Right. Thank you very much.
Bill?